Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Season Countdown, an in-depth look at all 34 of the region's local football clubs. Here's your host, Tom King.
Time now to go inside the Port Arlington camp, and it's been a bit of a tough summer. If you've been following the local footy news, you'd know that their coach, Pete O'Connor, had a little bit of a health scare at the end of January, but the good news is that he is on the road to recovery. A bit of an issue with the ticker, but gee, the doctors these days are amazing what they can do with medicine, and they've got him on the road to recovery to the point that he's actually talking to us today, only, I think, 5 weeks after undergoing open-heart surgery, and will be in charge when the Demons kick off their practice matches in a couple of weeks from now. Pete, we really appreciate you taking some time, and fantastic to talk to you.
Yeah, look, it's been a tough 5 weeks, but yeah, everything's back on track, which is good. I'll just correct one thing. I'm not going to launch straight back into coaching because Jova Miles and in particular, but Gary English and Greg Foote, they've been taking training.
Yep.
And I said to Joff, look, for the start, I'll just let him continue with the coaching.
Yep.
And I'll have a bit of a backward roll until I'm, we'll just do a transition over the first few rounds, I'd say.
Yeah, but still, I believe you've been sighted at training.
Went to training one night last week.
Yep.
And as of next week, I can start driving again, so I'll get to training before the practice matches and go from there. So been given the all clear by the doctor to take things easy, but still have to be very careful about lifting heavy weights and couldn't take a heavy knock. Not that I get involved in much of training, but yep. I couldn't take a knock from the ball or something like that. So it'll be at a distance for a while.
Yep. Stress levels. I know coaching Port Arlington does come with a certain level of stress. It's a bit different to some other clubs, but is that factored in as well?
Oh, look, you never stop thinking about it. And, we had no doubt we had a tough year last year. We probably didn't go as well as we had hoped in pre-season. Our practice match form last year wasn't too bad, but round one we got the rude awakening from Newcombe and it sort of, well, didn't go downhill from there. I thought we were pretty competitive for the first 7 or 8 rounds, but we got some injuries that really knocked the wind out of our sails, and then COVID came along and, we really limped home those last 4 or 5 games.
Yep.
And morale was pretty low, and it was just, I think we all went into sort of survivor mode, looking for the end of the season. Yep. So, it was tough at the end.
Yep. It might have been a blessing in disguise that it was only a 12-game season, Pete, not an 18-gamer.
Oh, I'm certain. And look, I think we would have approached an 18-game season differently. But once we went back after 8 rounds and then had 4 to go, we kind of knew where we were. We'd lost probably 5 players with long-term injuries at that point. So I think everyone realised that we were, even though we'd been struggling, it was going to be a bigger struggle. We got good numbers on the track and morale stayed up, but we sort of tended to drop out of games worse than we had at the start of the year.
Yep. So on a personal level, people will be interested. How are you and how does it all look for the future for Pete O'Connor?
Oh, look, I was lucky. I didn't have a heart attack or any damage to the heart. I just had what I thought was indigestion, but it turned out to be angina. And when the doctor realised it was angina, sent me for some tests and I had a few blockages. They fixed those with bypass surgery. And, it's the first couple of weeks are pretty brutal. But after that, it's been pretty good. I've done rehab down at Point Lonsdale Community Centre and walking every day. And things are pretty much back to normal. I've got pretty much full movement of my arms and all that sort of stuff. It's just waiting for the wounds to heal and the chest to heal. The sternum takes about 12 weeks to be, safe enough to be doing normal stuff.
Yep. You're in a rare position for a local footy coach that you're retired and you can actually devote yourself to it. Has it been a nice distraction that you could focus a little bit on footy as you do your rehab and get yourself back to, resuming normal life?
Yeah, it is. It takes your mind off it and it keeps you focused on other things rather than, worst case scenarios with your health and stuff like that. So that side of it's been good and that's actually been encouraged by the medical people I've seen, the doctors and the nurses. They're big on, resuming as much of a normal life and, using the social side to recover as well.
Yep.
So it's been good.
Yep. the footy club has had, it's lacked stability in terms of the playing group. The chopping and changing of, you know, the list over the last 10 to 15 years, and you could even argue back to the premiership in 1992, has been all over the shop. But for once, you've had a fairly stable summer. The departures are minimal, if none, and then you're able to add some young talent from Leopold. But you've had to work hard to keep the list together.
Oh, look, it's fair to say at the end of last season, we were probably more at the crossroads than we ever had been. And that was because we recruited a lot of young guys last year. We had most weeks we were fielding between 10 and 12 guys who had previously only played up to under-18s and under-19s. And, you know, so at the end of the season, they had a good think about, well, is this what I want to do with my football? Some of the older players were thinking, you know, is anything ever going to change here, sort of thing. And the players really, without much interaction or intervention from Joff or I, or the coaching staff, got together, and it was player-led, two senior players, Shane Whiffen and Macca McPherson. They got players together, and they basically ran their own workshops and said, where do we want to go? Are we going to stay? Are we fair dinkum? What are we going to do? And out of that came a bit of a determination that, no, we'll have one more crack at it. And most of the recruits we've had this year have been friends of those guys, the guys that we recruited last year that stayed. And we've added another, you know, seven or eight guys who are 21 or under, 22 and under. So we've got a very young list, but they're committed, more committed than certainly I've seen in the last 3 years I've been there.
Yep. Leopold's been kind to you in terms of some guys, and the name that sticks out is Max Reuter, who's played a bit of GFL senior footy, which can only be good for your group. And like, you might only be young, but to have played it at that level and bring that experience, and even the other guys of coming in, being on it, you know, at a GFL club under good coaches there, they just bring, you know, a bit of enthusiasm to the group and a bit of knowledge and experience that it can only be beneficial.
Oh, that's right, and you notice that in the standards they have for their own training that have been ingrained in them, and they've been really good in the way that they've embraced the group and embraced the culture that we've got. Like, because we're so young, everyone's prepared to learn and everyone's prepared to listen, and they've been really good in the way that they've led a training. Max is a very good player. He's got lovely skills. We were trying to work out whether he's right or left footed for a long time. He's that good on both sides of his body. So he's going to be a real pickup for us. But the other boys we've got, Jack Rose, Josh Jones and Max Devlin, are all competent, you know, reserves players who, once again, are all 22 or under. So, and the reason we got them was that three or four guys that were recruited last year, Lockie Hart, Blake Mazuris and Brock Wells, they all went to St Ignatius with the Leopold boys. So we've now got about probably 10 or so boys on the list that went to school together at St Ignatius. And that's been the connection. And that's what sort of helped them come down and stay, because they've got mates there.
Yep.
So that's pretty positive for us.
Absolutely. Jack Evans from Port Fairy, what can you tell us about him?
Jack is the partner of the senior netball coach. And he's sort of been, he won the under-18s best and first support fairy and played some senior footy just after he left under-18s. He sort of drifted in and out of footy a little bit over the last few years, but he's decided he wants to have a real crack, and he's hardly missed a training run. He's 6'3", plays up forward, can pinch it in the ruck, and he'll be a good player for us. He's a bit old, he's about 24, 25, but he brings... he brings something to the team, and it'll add to our forward line, which is terrific.
Braden O'Hanlon's a bit of a question mark for you, Pete. I came across from Motowari, but he's fairly talented in the musical sphere, and it might be headed that way.
Yeah, look, he's not only was he playing good footy for us last year, he coached the under-18s, but his work commitments are such that he doesn't think he's going to have enough time for footy. He's given up the job as under-18 coach. And it looks like at this stage he's probably not going to play any footy with us this year. So, we'll never say never, but, yeah, look, we wish him all the best in his music career. He's a very talented young bloke and and a fantastic leader amongst the group. So we will miss him. Yeah, he'll be the biggest loss that we've got off our list. Yep.
Your absence, has it impacted what you were hoping to implement this year, or has it been fairly seamless that you've left it to Jeff Miles and to Gary English to be able to put in place what you want to see carried out throughout season 2022?
Yeah, look, at the end of last year, Joff said that he wanted to step up and actually be a full-time assistant and run the back line. And the reason he didn't do as much of that last year was he had bad hips. Now he's had a hip replacement and he's back on deck. And Gary English came in after about three or four rounds last year. But prior to Christmas, we sat down and decided how we wanted to train and the sorts of drills that we wanted to do. Most of it is sort of match simulation stuff, because that's what, A, that's what the players wanted, and B, what we needed. And so that's just flowed on when I've missed the... So I did everything up until Christmas, or we did it as a group, and Joff and Gaz have done it since Christmas. With the help of... we had Michael Barlow down from Werribee a couple of nights through a connection we got there with Darren Hellman, who used to be at Werribee. So Michael came down, took a couple of runs. Josh Gibson stays in the caravan park and he had a run with the boys. So, yeah, the training's been good. And the thing that's been different to previous years is that bunch of 22-year-olds have basically trained nearly every night together. Last year, half of them arrived in 2 or 3 weeks before we started. So we were chasing our tails fitness-wise. This year we go in with a list that's been... Yeah, working together pretty well. We did 8 weeks before Christmas, and then we're going to do another 6 before the first round. So they'll have a good solid block of training together, fitness-wise, and match conditions as well.
What do you hope to get out of the year? Have you set some goals, some ambitions for the group? Like, you obviously get back on the winners list would be a massive thing for the footy club, but what's realistic for Port Arlington in 2022, Pete?
Yeah, look, I don't think we can talk wins and losses. I mean, we've got to be, you know, sensible about where we're at. But we want to. I think last year I blame myself for this a little bit. We didn't talk about winning enough, or we talk about winning little things, but not enough things. So we'll be focusing this year on winning entire quarters or winning halves. Last year, we were competitive for the first 15, 20 minutes of a quarter, and then we'd drop off and have 4 or 5, 6 goals kicked against us in the last few minutes. So our goal is going to be initially just to play out the whole quarter and not drop off, win some quarters, and see where we go from there. And it's, I think the other thing too is I think last year, we got a bit of respect from other clubs, but it was almost respect tinged with pity.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Whereas I think we want to, you know, we want clubs to have a lot more respect for us, you know, on the ground. Even though, as I say, last year it was a step forward in that area, we want to take more steps forward in that area. But we can't really, you know, having, you know, an average losing margin of 22 goals last year, it's difficult to claw back, you know, 30 goals and start winning in the season. Yeah. But everyone's realistic and knows what it's going to take to get back, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we've had a discussion about the group. If we want to get and recruit more players in 2023, we've got to show that we've made some inroads in 2022.
Yeah. Your junior setup, I know there's some really good numbers in the lower age groups, but at the 16s and 18 level, are you... the club going to be able to field some teams?
Look, certainly the 16s, they as under 15s last year, I think they went through undefeated, or certainly they finished on top of their division, and there's some terrific kids coming through there. The under 18 group is still a bit weak in terms of numbers. There's some quality kids there, but not enough of them. But it was always, I think, when Joff and I came into the club, we realised that there was that under 16 group that was probably the first, there's going to be the first flow on, because yep, from 16s downwards, we've got multiple teams.
Yep.
So it was always going to be that group that was going to provide the first influx of players from the junior ranks, and it's a matter of just building something in those couple of years till they're ready to play.
Yeah, I know the club's got half an eye on their 150th anniversary in 2024, and I'm guessing that's a year that the club would really want to be competitive. And it's not, you know, Port Arlington won't be winning the flag in 2024 unless something dramatic really happens. But I know the club wants to be back to a position of some sort of strength and relevance by that time. And I suspect that those junior kids are going to play a fair key role in that.
That's right. That's about the year they'll start to come through. And that's right. And I think, you know, internally, when we've had conversations, we'd be thinking that in 2024, we'd like to think we could be in a position to win maybe half a dozen games. You know, like a bit, we're on a similar sort of path to Newcombe, but a couple of years behind. So, you know, that's a model for us. And we're looking at 2024, we will have, I think the best word to use there was relevance. You know, we'll be relevant in the competition rather than just an easy 4 points.
First month of the season, or first 4 weeks of the season, Ammo's in a twilight clash at Ammo's to kick things off. Newcombe at home in round two. Actually, you've got three in a row at home, I think. Newcombe round two, Torquay Good Friday, and then Anzac Day's yours against Drysdale. So you've actually got a couple of games in the spotlight as well, which is fantastic for the club. And I know you've had Anzac Day for a while, and Good Friday's been the last couple of years. But you know, for your young group, the chance to play in front of some, I think you'll get some pretty big crowds. Judged on Good Friday last year, there was plenty of people there, and I suspect if the weather's nice, you'll have plenty of people inside Ron Evans Oval having a look.
Yeah, look, those days are big, the Good Friday and Anzac Day. It's sort of a pity, I suppose, they both come so close together early in the season, but they are good days, and the players love them, the club loves them. We'll be looking forward to presenting as best we can on those days. It's a tough start to the season. Ammo's, you know, they won't be happy with their season last year. You just know how proud they are as a club. So, you know, they've recruited a few blokes from Joey's, and they're going to be tough. So we're under no delusions there, especially out at Ammo's. Newcombe at home. Newcombe touched us up both times last year. So we've got a bit to prove there to try and show that they'll be a good benchmark, just because, as I say, we're sort of mapping them a little bit in terms of their progress. Torquay at home, it wouldn't matter where we played Torquay, we played them on the moon and they beat us. But they're a terrific side. And then Drysdale is always a great game at Drysdale. They're a great club, and I taught Tommy Ruggles at school, so I'm looking forward to battling with him as a coach, and same with Binger. So that'll be a good day for us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Pete, I was going to ask you for a track star, but probably a bit hard to ask you for one because you haven't been there. Or has there been somebody that has impressed that's filtered through to you from Joff and Gary that they've really liked? Yeah.
And then before Christmas, as I said, we had 8 weeks before Christmas, which was longer than normal, but the players wanted it, and they threw themselves into it. The one that stood out the most, I think, is a kid by the name of Matt Farrell. He played 8 games last year, came down from North Bendigo, and played under 18s or under 19s in 2019. And he was a good player up there, a junior, and he's looking terrific. He's got himself fit. He's followed the program. He's moving really well, and he wants to really establish himself as a senior footballer. And Lockie Hart, who came down late last year and rucked for us all year, he's really thrown himself into the training, the club, and he was instrumental in getting some of those boys across from Leopold. So he's been fantastic as well. So those two have been really outstanding. And some of our local kids have come through our juniors, Stan Hogan, Tom Benham. They've actually been looking fantastic, and they've got the bit between their teeth and want to, you know, establish themselves as good Port players as well. So there's a lot of positives. But we know where we're coming from. We're coming from a long way back.
Pete, always a pleasure to talk footy with you. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's been a tough 5 or 6 weeks for you, but to give up your time to give us some of your thoughts on where you're at, but also on where Port Arlington's at, we really appreciate, and we wish you all the very best for season 2022 and with your health.
Thanks for that, Tommy. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to K-Rock Football's Season Countdown. Keep an eye on krockfootball.com.au for new episodes in the lead up to the 2022 local football season.